Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's already April 16th and 17th, depending on when you're listening to this. So hopefully you have completed your taxes, although this year you have a couple of extra days. I know I sent mine in. Hopefully everybody has done that. And it's hard to believe as well that the Fisher Cats opened up on April 14th at Northeast Delta Dental Stadium. And Fisher Cats are a great partner. They give back so much to the community, and they also have enabled us to really get the oral health message out there, because more and more employers are dropping their dental coverage and asking their employees to individually purchase, you know, dental coverage. So the retail market in our world is very important. So we have two ways you can do that. We have a private exchange, called DeltaDentalCoversMe.com. It'll take you about 45 seconds to get a good dental program, or you can go on the public exchange, healthcare.gov. You may know in New Hampshire has decided to go with the federal software. Last week's show was on the Seacoast Science Center and mammal rescue. That was a very interesting topic. We got a lot of comments on it. There's three reasons why I love to do this radio show. I get to feature community partners like the Seacoast Science Center. Number one. Number two, it enables me to talk a little bit about oral health. We often have Dr. Mills or Dr. Tillman on, or Dr. Curray. And lastly, everybody knows I'm a sports freak or maniac, whatever. I love sports, all types of sports. So this weekend with me is the world famous Concord's own Amber Ferreira, who is the 11th ranked triathlete, professional triathlete in the world. So Amber, thank you for joining me the 16th and 17th. I know you're a very busy woman, so you probably have better things to do than hang out with Tom Raffio, but thank you.
Thanks for having me, Tom. You're my inspiration.
I doubt that, but anyway, thank you. So tell me, you just returned from Galveston, Texas for a half iron. So let's talk a little bit about your sort of rigorous schedule. I know you do full irons as well, but to talk a little bit about the half and the difference between a half and a full.
Yeah, so with the professional racing now, the girls are getting faster and faster and just raising the bar ridiculously high, which is good. But for a half iron, which is 70.3 miles, the race pace and the intensity actually is really, really high. So right off the gun, my heart rate will spike to near max in the swim. And then you actually try to sort of hold that all day long for 70 miles.
Wow.
So it gets, yeah, everyone, when they think of Ironman and that, you know, ultra racing, they think you're just sort of plodding along. But in the half iron racing, no more. It really is a very intense race.
So. Is that becoming a more popular distance? And I mention that because I know in my little world, you know, I see more and more half marathons and more people doing it. And half marathons, or you don't get nearly, you don't have to be as trained up and you don't get as debilitated. So is that the same and true in Ironman stuff?
Yeah, definitely. And that's, you could definitely equate those two. You know, I think the half marathon, you know, it's a good accomplishment, but like you said, you don't have to spend all week training for it. And similarly to the half Ironman, it's a really big accomplishment, but you don't have to, you know, you really don't have to like give up your life to be able to train and complete one. So,
and speaking of life, you have another life. You have a full-time job as well. Yeah. So how do you like fly down to Texas, do that, come back and juggle all that? Tell us about that.
Yeah, it is actually, that's a good word for it, is juggle it. I also added, I added a few jobs today. I'm doing some part-time teaching at Franklin Pierce in the physical therapy department.
Oh, nice. That's a great place to teach
that.
Yeah,
which is really fun. Oh, it's awesome. And then,
some of my best PT friends graduated from there. So
it's great. It's a great environment. It's really energetic. I'm glad I did it. It just makes the week a little bit more hectic. And then I do some coaching of triathletes and runners. So the week gets really busy. But what I do is usually on Monday, I create a checklist and then I just keep ticking off the boxes. And I do really make training a priority, because I'm not going to be able to compete at this level forever. So I do sort of put that first at times. But at the end of the day, I'm really tired, but I feel happy and satisfied.
Exactly. And I know that's what I do. I just build it. I look, I have a crazy schedule work-wise and all my external responsibilities, but I make sure that my colleagues build in some. I don't care whether it's 9 o'clock at night or 5:30 in the morning. I'm definitely going to do that. And I'm way older than you, but when you get older, it becomes that much, you know, more important. So you're in your prime for a triathlete, right?
Yeah.
And so we won't divulge. We never divulge ages, right? But so in the next couple of years, I mean, you're 11th ranked in the world. I mean, which in itself is, I couldn't even dream about that. But do you have goals? I know you'll always tell me to have fun and all that stuff. But you must deep down have another goal to be maybe fifth or something, or maybe first.
I mean, it's always, you always want to keep moving up the ranks. But also more importantly, because you can't really control what your competition does, I have some time goals. I think it would be really exciting to break 9 hours in the full Ironman. And that would take sort of having perfect days in all three disciplines, having a perfect swim and flawless, no mechanicals on the bike. And then actually it really does require running under 3 hours in the marathon coming off the bike.
Can you imagine a listening audience running a sub 3 hour marathon, having done biking and swimming? That's incredible. So, let me ask you this, because when I told people I was interviewing you, they said, could you ask her this question? What is the hardest of the three? I'm nowhere even close to your league, but when I do a sprint triathlon, like, the swimming continues to be the hardest thing for me, and that's when I ask people generally, they say that. So in your case, what do you think it is? Or maybe you're stellar in all three.
No. It's definitely, all three can be a work in progress. And then when you think you've got something, you know, when I make progress on the bike, I think I lose a little bit on the run. So it's always a little bit of that give and take. I would say you're right. A lot of people are a little bit nervous going into swim. It's almost like it turns it into a contact sport. You know, you're really close to people and your competitors are throwing elbows. In that regard, it makes that a little bit challenging and you have to kind of keep the nerves down. But I would say the last probably 10 miles of the bike is the hardest, because you've already biked over 100 miles. Wow. And swam. And then you're sort of thinking in the back of your mind, you're thinking, I need to get off this bike and run 26 miles. So I think that's a part where you sort of mentally you can kind of break down a little
bit.
So
how's the mental part of that? Because that is kind of like running, upcoming in June, and maybe I'll see you up there, is the Northeast Delta and Mount Washington Road Race.
Yeah, definitely.
And that also has that psychological component. I know a lot of my good running buddies, they struggle with it because, not you, but most of us that run it at some point have to walk, and it does such a mind game. Oh my, I'm a good, someone's thinking they're a really good runner, but I have to walk. So when you're on the bike and you're thinking about the 26 months. So how do you prepare mentally then?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. I think, obviously you have to put the work in, the physical work and the miles in training, but you also have to train your mind. So some of the workouts I do are pretty intense and they're meant to sort of mimic race day. And during that time, I'll have these mantras that I say that sort of keeps me in the game, because you're totally right, Tom. If you lose it mentally, I think you're sort of done. And I think there's a lot of little tricks you can do in practice to kind of keep you in that game, to keep you from kind of caving mentally.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Do you do things like yoga? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I do yoga. It's hard to fit in weekly routine yoga, but if anything, I'll do like sort of a quick 20-minute yoga session after I have my lifting sessions. And I will really try to go over a perfect race situation in my head during those times. And I think that actually helps. So.
Now you're saying, like all of us that run, you're sort of running against your own stopwatch, and your own performance. But you're also this certainly even at my age category, there's always, I know, like when I'm there, I can sort of look and say, okay, unless I have a huge great race, I'm in fourth place no matter what. So you have these benchmarks. So as you're getting better, though, I'm assuming, let's say you're trying to be number 7 in the world, but the women who are 8, 9, and 10, aren't they also looking at you and saying, I don't want Amber to catch me? And so it's like that type of leapfrogging thing?
Definitely, that type of back and forth. And I'm lucky. I feel so lucky to be racing as a pro. I've met some really great girls who, like I said, continue to kind of raise that bar. And when they raise the bar, you can kind of leapfrog ahead and and move past your own personal boundaries. So I think that's great. And I'm sure that you get, you know, those little battles within the race yourself, and you're sort of thinking maybe you could never, you know, beat or run faster than that person, but one day you do. So
yeah. It's awesome. Yeah, Tom Walt and I call that the race within the race. And
yeah.
People can't figure out, like, I'm sprinting the last 200 yards like to get under like 25 minutes. What's the point? But there is a point.
Yeah, there actually is a point, because you're trying to get that other guy.
That's too funny. Anyway, so I know you blog a lot too. So
yeah.
And you, obviously you're at such a level that most of us couldn't even contemplate. But would you agree that the great thing about running and triathlons and any type of sports is really the fitness angle and feeling good about yourself?
Yeah, definitely. And just, you know, creating those relationships with other people, I feel like you immediately, and I think we've just touched on this before, in a race, you immediately have like 100 friends, you know, where you have something in common with. And even though, you know, you may beat someone one day and they beat you the next day, you know, it's all good and fun, and it's really positive environment.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
There's two points there. That's why I love it. Is the camaraderie. It gets me out of the day to day. And I would say, you know, 99% of the running athletes that I've met are really cool people. And the
Definitely.
Second thing is, you can't lie to yourself, because, you know, if you do a 24-minute 5K, that's your time. You can't
exactly.
say, well, the ref made a bad call or whatever. So I play a lot of racquetball, and I know some days I'm thinking I'm playing well, but I'm probably not. But the great thing, but the great thing about racing is you have your time. So this year, I'm running much slower, but like I did a 26-minute on SEA. The year before, I did 25 minutes. So guess what, Tom? You're a minute slower. I mean, it's the exact same course. The weather conditions were the same. So it's a great way to keep you honest. Now, wait a minute. But as far as basketball, Amber, I think I led the amateur team in scoring, you know,
yeah,
against
you
the
did.
Harlem Wizards. So that's one thing I can do maybe better than you, only because
you
like I'm a
great.
Foot taller or whatever.
So, you were great. Actually, I was talking with Jeremy Woodward about you. I'm like, wow, Tom's like our ringer. Really,
it was a lot of fun. I did play a lot, and unfortunately about basketball, at some point you can't really play in leagues because you're getting elbowed at night,
yeah.
and I have to get up the next morning, and the CEO of Delta Dental can't have a black eye or a broken tooth for that matter. So okay, so we're so blessed in New Hampshire to have Amber. So we'll return after commercial break, and we'll get into more with Amber Ferreira. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio with Amber Ferreira this weekend, April 16th and 17th. And again, it's tax season. You have a couple of extra days, but get right on those. And also just want to remind my running friends that next Friday, April 22nd at 6 o'clock, we have the NHCI Delta Dental 5K Road Race. It's the third race in the Capital Year Race Series. I also want to put a plug in for our friends at Runner's Alley. We were asked to put on a race in June because it was a gap between the fifth Cars race, usually in the seventh, which is the Bill Luddy on July 16th. So with the help of our friends from Runners Alley, we've added the Capital City Classic 10K, and that's Sunday, June 26th, and it'll run through Concord. And obviously, most people are doing 5Ks this year, this time, but this is a 10K race, so we're pretty happy that Runner's Alley is helping with that. So again, if you're interested in knowing more about the Capital Year Race Series, that's runcarsnewhampshire.com, and the next one is Friday, April 22nd. And even if it's too late for you to register for the whole series, you can do these races individually. So back to Amber. So Amber, you know, what people don't realize, in addition to being the 11th-ranked world triathlete, she's right here in Concord. She's also a prolific, that's hard to say, by the way, blogger. And she understands, obviously, that for most of us, we run for the fun. We're nowhere near, could even contemplate what Amber does, but the importance of exercise as a preventative healthcare measure. So you blog about a lot. And so tell us a little bit about your history and then the blog stuff.
Yeah, I am thankful that triathlon and Ironman racing has sort of given me this platform to show others if they, you know, really you can accomplish anything you want to. And hopefully my blog is comical, but also, you know, a little bit inspiring for people. The actual blog spot is amberferreira.blogspot.com. And I'm going to be featuring Tom Raffio, who has done something absolutely amazing.
You're turning on me. You're interviewing me now? Is that right? Yeah. So what have I done amazing? Please tell me.
Really, the world.
My employee colleagues and my family want to know.
The world should know. So last year, in 2015, you raced over 100 races.
I did do that. And with the help of another crazy man, Dave Ardette, who everybody knows and who's running in the Concord era. So here's what happened, Amber. So normally I do about 80 races. And so Dave made a challenge to me and he said, you really should do 100. And I was looking at my race schedule from the year before, 2014. And I was looking at it, and basically every weekend since March, I had two races every weekend. So I said the only way I could actually get to 100 is to do a lot more racing in January and February. I really love to ski, but I made a commitment with Dave. So we did every morning. I went to his house every Saturday morning. I would drive to his house in Concord real early in the morning, freezing cold. We would drive down to Tewksbury. And of course, Dave, every set, he keeps his car outside, and the defrost doesn't work, so he's driving with a little hole in the front window. Oh my God, it was awful. But anyway, so we did Tewksbury every Saturday in January and February, and then we did there's a race series as well in the Peterborough area. So we did that the next day, and then there were some other races in Nashua. Nashua has a cold series as well.
Oh, so, right. The Freeze Your Buns, maybe.
Correct.
Was that it? Okay.
So we were doing sometimes three races every weekend in January and February. So by the time we got to March, we had 30 races under our belt. And so then the normal schedule from that point on could easily get me over 100. But I'm pretty paranoid and compulsive at times, so I made sure I scheduled over 100 because even though, as you know, races never get canceled, in the back of my mind, I thought, oh my God, let's say a Jingle Bell run gets canceled, something like that. So I actually scheduled in, I think I ended up with 103 just to make sure I got it. So it was just crazy. So it was a challenge. And of course, Dave's accomplishments are much more remarkable than mine because, of course, I'm more like a 24, 25 minute 5K person. And of course, he does, sub 20. So it was just a lot of fun. And I got to know him. And like you, he's such a terrific person. And that's, I think, a point you were making before the break, which is, at your level, you're getting to meet all these, elite young women from all across the world, and you've probably made some really cool friends, even if they're competitors.
Yeah, definitely, and it really strengthens the relationship, and makes, I think, life more vibrant. Tom, in all honesty, that's so amazing and so inspiring. How did you fuel for that? How did you fuel for the weekends? Did you have a huge pizza fest on Friday?
Well, I went to bed really early every Friday.
Yeah.
One hurdle I need to challenge, conquer in my life, excuse me, is going to bed earlier, but I made a commitment to going to bed early Friday nights and Saturday nights. Usually I work late because to do all this kind of crazy workout schedule, I usually have to go back to the office and I'm doing emails till like 11 and then I drag myself home. But I thought, just for a couple months, like go to bed early Friday and Saturday, and then Dave was willing to drive and I'd get up and go from there. So that was pretty cool. And thank you. But really, it's nothing compared to what you do. But I have a lot of fun. I mean, and people, the other thing, I've gotten to know a lot of race directors.
So
if anybody's out there and if you're trying to establish, a community race, just give me a call at 223-1300 and perhaps, we can do the timing sponsorship for you. Usually that's the two largest costs of a road race, of course, are the timing and if you decide to get t-shirts and so forth. So we can help with that. And the only thing I would say, if it's a small community race, you really don't need chip timing in year one. Now, it's really great. John Mortimer's group, usually they have the chip timing. But you have a race of like 60 people, which actually, Amber, sometimes I like the smaller community races because you don't have to worry about parking and all that stuff. But anyway,
definitely.
So that's my story and I'm sticking with it. So let's get back to you because that was just little old me. But you,
that's
now,
amazing.
So did you? When did you know you had this gift? Obviously, and the other thing I say, as you know, I wrote a book and with Dave Cowens, who's a famous basketball player, and I interviewed a lot of famous people. athletes and billionaires, and they all said the same thing, which is the number one trait is outworking trait is outworking the competition and working hard. You mean you can't control your gray matter, you can't control your build necessarily, but you can't control the hard work. So, but at some point you must have recognized, I mean, you had a gift, and then of course you worked on it. So, when did that serendipitous thing happen?
Well, I and you make a great point, and I'll circle back to the outworking people. But I think a few years back wrote a blog post about this that I wish that people could Google the Amber of 2010, really, because that's when I just started triathlon, and I.
You were great then.
Well, but, it was very challenging. Yeah. You know, I was challenged. I think the bike, I was really weak on the bike, and I had to really work hard to get where I am on the bike. So I hope that people can find that as a motivating factor, that if you just write down your goal and go for it and put in the work, that you really can do anything that your heart desires.
Right, and there's no shortcuts. I mean, and the thing is, none of us can control who our parents were, again, like our build and some of our natural gifts. Obviously, none of us, we could all work out 20 hours a day, and none of us are ever going to be as good as Amber, but we can take what we have, you know, and work at it. And every person that I interviewed for this book, that's what they said was the number one trait. And again, these were billionaires who outworked people in their business, and these were athletes, you know, like Joan Benoit Samuelson, same thing, or Dave Cowan. So that's awesome, Amber. And so when do you have time to blog, though? I'm just curious.
That's why I know I need to get back on the blogging schedule. Usually that is the Friday night fun.
Cool.
A little bit of dessert and a little bit of blogging.
Nice.
But I enjoy it. And actually, it's helpful sometimes just to write down your thoughts on a race, just because you can kind of go back and reflect on it. If anything went wrong, you can tweak it, and then it's there on paper, black and white. And then, like I said before, hopefully my blog's inspiring for others to get out there and go chase their dreams. So
you absolutely are. Do you also do you do Twitter as well?
I do Twitter. Yeah, I do the whole Instagram thing. I have a lot of wonderful sponsors. Obviously, the top of the list: Delta Dental, and you, Tom Raffio, and Infinite Nutrition, Rudy Project, Velocio, MC Cycles. And really, in all honesty, that's sort of why I do some of that social media, is to kind of give back to them and promote them. And I really couldn't race and travel and be competitive if I didn't have the support of the sponsors.
And you have your support, obviously, as well as your employer.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to put a plug in for them?
Exactly.
Please do.
Concord Hospital. Okay. Yeah, they have been absolutely wonderful, you know, and I have a unique and, I would say, challenging schedule. Last year, and especially in 2014, I was traveling all around the world, and they're really, really good about time off. So,
great. And you've been to
you.
South Africa and so
yes,
forth. But
yeah.
there's one thing, the only thing we have in common, I think, is, well, I don't know if this is true, but everybody knows me that I'm totally mechanically challenged. Like, my wife gets so frustrated. All I can do basically is change a light bulb, but that's it. So the one thing, when I do a mini triathlon, I'm always worried about that the chain's going to come off the bike, or I'm going to get a flat tire, and then I'm going to be screwed. So you had it early on in your career. Didn't you have a flat tire once?
Yes.
So how did you deal with that?
That was my first pro race, my first Ironman pro race. I got a double flat tire, actually.
Front and back?
Well, it was the same one. And so there's actually, because I am mechanically challenged.
See, we do have something in common, a listening audience. Me and Amber, that's good. Okay.
And I've had to work really, really hard on learning the ins and outs of, you know, how to change a tire and every detail of sort of fixing a bike. But yeah, I had a double flat tire twice in the front, and it just left me on the side of the road for 45 minutes. And I did end up finishing the race. But it is, you know, it's a little bit of a shame when you have a mechanical like that. But I think it's also a learning process, and the better you can become at sort of fixing all those mechanicals and really being a professional in all aspects and all disciplines, then the better off you'll be. So
you put that on your life's resume, and now you can fix a tire better than I can. So give us your blogspot one more time.
It's amberferreira.blogspot.com.
And we are so blessed right here in Concord, New Hampshire, to have someone as great as Amber. And for my
running friends,
no, thank you. I mean, you are an inspiration to all of us. And we might see Amber on Friday, April 22nd. She's got a very busy schedule. But again, for my running friends, that's like 6 o'clock, and it's right out of NHCI. Amber Ferreira, 11th ranked in the world. You are amazing.
You
keep
too.
It going.
I'm 103 races.
All righty. Very good.
Thank you.
Good luck with all of you. I know you're going to Austria, Lake Placid, and congratulations on Galveston as well.
Thank
you. Tom Raffio will return next weekend with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.